This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
I'm Dave Kattenberg, and this is 12 Canadians Building a Better World from the Inside Out.
This river drains 1,700 square kilometers. It's not a huge river.
It's kind of the beginning of the food chain and the beginning of how this Nashwauk and the St. John River system grows. It starts here.
The open pit itself will be, I think, about 170 hectares.
Let the river alone and stop shitting in the river.
I would love to see the day when there were enough salmon returning that we could take some home and eat them.
But that's the island right there. That's one of them. And this one, they would have used this whole area here for the, it wasn't a village, it was more of an encampment. And there's pictures. We have old pictures of where they would be fishing.
Where are we?
We're at the mouth of the Nawijuwuk. That's where we're at, which is one of the tributaries of the Wollastook.
The St. John River in English.
Yes, yeah. Nashwauk. The Nashwauk, they call it. But in our language, it's pronounced Nawijuwuk. And it means where there's an undercurrent. And there are places on this river where there's a strong undercurrent. People have to watch for that.
So this is the Nashwauk River,
yes,
flowing into the St. John.
Yes.
River.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right into the city of Fredericton. It's a beautiful slice of heaven that flows right into the city. This particular spot is a really popular place for folks who live here to come and drop their kayaks and their canoes. As you can see, there's a gentleman fishing over there. It's a really accessible place for people to start their recreational journey up the Nashwauk River, which is a great, fairly meandering, slow river here at the mouth, where folks of all kind of paddling experiences can have a great day. I'm Stephanie Merrill. I direct the Freshwater Protection Program for the Conservation Council of New Brunswick, and I actually grew up in the valley, the Nashwauk River Valley, so I have both a professional and personal experience with this river.
And can you introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Alma Brooks, and my spirit name is Jabbawekwe, and I'm a Maliseet woman. People is a beautiful river, and our people used this tributary a lot. They paddled up and down, they collected medicine throughout. It was good hunting, fishing, so it was one of the main areas for our people years ago.
And this little island in front of us, it's sitting right at the mouth.
At the mouth of the river, yeah. That was where they had an encampment, and they would come here to fish bass and salmon. They were fishing at night with the light. So and there's they have paintings and photographs, old photographs of that. Yeah, of course this wasn't here then. This road.
And this is the sound of cars going overhead.
Yeah, that wasn't here. It would have been very quiet, and you would be able to hear the birds and hear nature back in those days. Well, you know, and the St. John River now today is one of the most polluted. They're telling us now that we can't eat the fish, we can't eat the fiddleheads, we can't use the medicine because it's so much pollution. And they have dams clogging the river. That's like you having a blocked artery, and the river can't clean herself, so there's an accumulation of blue-green algae that's very toxic and poisonous. And I think probably the headwaters of the Nashwauk are probably the only place that has a little semblance of clean water. And if they build the Sisson Dam, that'll be the end of that. And a very few of the Atlantic salmon now are coming up to spawn up here at the headwaters. And that'll be the last, that's really probably the last area that for their survival would be if they are able to continue, you know, to use the headwaters. But if the Sisson Brook will destroy that, the last opportunity for them to survive. And so I wonder about all this management. You know, you hear every time you hear about pollution or hear about they do these studies after studies after studies, and then they do a study to study the study, and then they want to have a management plan. Well, I don't know what they're going to manage unless they're trying to manage their pollution. I don't know. Because if they just left the river alone, if they opened the dams, let the river alone and stop shitting in the river, then the river would clean herself in a very short period of time.
I'll show you the reason salmon are not in this tributary, the Dunbar Stream of the Nashwauk River. There's a waterfalls here. You can see it as we come down the trail. It's about 10 feet tall, and salmon can jump 10 feet, but there's an issue here that the pool is only about 3 feet deep, so they can't get deep enough into the salmon pool to get the speed up to make the big lunge to jump 10 or 12 feet in the air. I'm Gary Spencer. I'm a local resident of Stanley, New Brunswick, which is upriver here another 20 kilometers or so. I'm a founder and past president of the Nashwauk Watershed Association, and I've been very involved in salmon conservation efforts for the last 20 years or so. I've been a salmon angler all my life and spent time on the rivers canoeing, kayaking, fishing, snowshoeing in the winter. Just love the river. The Nashwauk River salmon population is an Outer Bay of Fundy salmon population. There's sort of three kinds of salmon in North America: Inner Bay of Fundy, Outer Bay of Fundy, and salmon. The Inner Bay of Fundy salmon basically don't go to Greenland, and they're the only ones that don't, and they have their own issues, and they have been listed by the federal government as endangered. The Outer Bay of Fundy salmon, the salmon in these streams and rivers on the Nashwauk, have not been listed, but they've been recommended by the scientific body COSAWIC that they should be listed as endangered under the Federal Species at Risk Act. These salmon do go to Greenland and back.
So that's amazing. They spawn. Tell me about that again, how they spawn. Some spend 2 years, some spend 3 years. And they just briefly run through that again.
The life cycle of these salmon in the Nashwauk River is right now, we're at July the 8th, I believe. So right now, there are salmon returning. Unfortunately, this is a poor year so far. But now, salmon would be returning in numbers. We just went through a period of high water, and they would take advantage of that high water to get clear to the top of the river, which is it's quite a distance up. I think it's 130 kilometers or something up to get up to the top of this river. And they'll wait in this river all summer and into the fall, October or November, to lay their eggs and spawn. The eggs will stay in the gravel over the winter and hatch around about April, the following spring. Those fish that hatch stay in this river or stream 2 or 3 years before they smoltify, turn into what we call smolts, and head for Greenland. Once they go to Greenland, even brothers and sisters might do different things. One salmon might just stay one winter and return next summer. And those salmon we call grilse, and they are the small salmon, roughly 2 feet long and 5 pounds in weight. Other salmon stay over in Greenland 2 and a few even 3 years, and they come back as what we just call salmon, large salmon, or multi-sea winter salmon. They weigh 10 pounds usually, maybe 12, and can weigh up to 20. Unlike West Coast salmon, Atlantic salmon can repeat this process many times in their life. I have seen a salmon do it up to 6 times in its life. That's a salmon I could identify as a particular individual. And so that is the life cycle. They return, 95% of them will return to the exact same stream where they were born, where they were hatched. And we don't know how they do that. And they have a perilous journey with many, many, many obstacles to try and overcome. And thankfully, so far, they're still overcoming them.
So what's been happening over the last decade or number of years to salmon populations here in the Nashwauk River?
They declined severely since the late 80s, early 90s. And for at a time there was, I think, 6 years in a row when we only had about 300 salmon returning to the Nashwauk River. The Nashwauk River, in my opinion, will carry about 5 or 6, maybe 7,000 salmon. If we had 5,000 salmon in it, that would be unbelievable. And for about 6 years in a row, up until 2008, we only had like 300 fish, and we were very concerned, and the community groups did a lot of different things. They built a gene bank, which we're going to try and see later on. We tagged fish, we raised fish and let them go, we did smolt counts, we tried to do habitat improvements, we did all kinds of stuff like that. And it's a long list of what the residents of the Nashwauk have done. But in 2008, we got a good number of salmon back. So for 2008, 9, 10, and 11, we had pretty good returns of salmon, and we all breathed a sigh of relief. But in 2012, the numbers crashed again, and so far in 2013, it does not look good. Gary Spencer, a Stanley resident, Nashwauk River resident, almost all of my life, typical Maritimer, went out west for work when I got out of school and worked my way back here as fast as I could back to my river. And I'm a founder and past president of the Nashwauk Watershed Association, and I'm a past president of the New Brunswick Salmon Council, and I've been involved in many other conservation groups over the last 20 years or so. So aquaculture, we connected the dots on aquaculture, but we couldn't prove it a long time ago, and I guess technically we still can't prove it, but I'm of the firm opinion, as are many others, the major challenge, the number one challenge facing our Outer Bay of Fundy salmon populations is, in fact, salmon aquaculture in the Bay of Fundy. It's a very serious threat. You can follow the patterns of when sea lice populations seem to get out of control in the Bay of Fundy aquaculture, salmon returns to the Nashwauk River fall, and significantly. We've tried to tell the Department of Fisheries and Oceans that, you know, you're in a conflict of interest. On the one hand, you're supposed to be protecting the wild salmon, and on the other hand, you're supposed to be maximizing the benefits to society from the aquaculture industry. Which is it?
You can't have both.
You can't have both. We're at the site of a fish hatchery slash gene bank that was built on the side of a tiny little brook. And if you want to see how small a brook big trout can live in, there's big trout in that little tiny brook out there. It's also an excellent temperature for keeping beer cold while you're working building a facility like this. Not that we ever did that. This was built entirely by volunteers, and originally it was meant to take eggs that we were kindly donated by DFO and raise them to Nashwauk-specific salmon for release in the Nashwauk River and its tributaries, and we operated it for I think 8 or 9 years straight that way. In the final part of it, we converted it to a gene bank where we were actually taking juvenile fish like 4 inches long, 5 inches long out of the river and raising them to adults so that we could then milk those adults for eggs, because the return of adults was so small we couldn't get the eggs to run it. This is Stanley High School, where both Stephanie and I studied and graduated. And I'm bringing you down here for a couple of reasons. We're finally on what I'll call the up Nashwauk part of it, where the river is steeper and becomes more of a salmon stream. This is also the site where grade 3 students release eggs from a program done with the New Brunswick Salmon Council called Fish Friends. Grade 3ers learn about salmon eggs by raising them into small fish, watching them develop, and releasing them in the wild here in the Nashwauk River, right at this spot right here. And I've had the great pleasure to come here many years and watch these kids let fish go and let salmon go. And it's an awesome program that ran into financial difficulties recently, and the New Brunswick Salmon Council raised the money and rescued it. So it's important for that reason. Now, you asked me earlier, why does the guy get involved? Well, there's a flat rock over there on the other side of the river. It's sticking out, and it's not a bad water level today. It's a little low. And that is locally called Louis's Rock. Louis McLoon was a local salmon angler and character in the 60s and 70s. He was my neighbor. I remember him from being very small. And he was a fishaholic. He and a couple other guys in the community were just crazy about salmon fishing. And so as I would sit in my grade 3 or 4 classroom in the school behind us, I remember the windows being at ground level. And if I wasn't paying close attention to the teacher, which happened sometimes, I could look out that window at around 10 o'clock in the morning or 11 o'clock in the morning and see Jack Spillman dragging two big salmon home across the playground to his house up on the other side here. And I saw that over and over and over again. And so the salmon is a real cultural icon in New Brunswick, more I think than anywhere else.
And it's the provincial coat of arms.
And it's at the top of the provincial coat of arms for very good reason. Fredericton, back in the day, was the place in the world to be posted as a British soldier, as a British officer. Fredericton was the coveted station to have because they were salmon anglers, and all these wonderful wild rivers were right here, right on their doorstep. So I remember we would drive or walk across the bridge, and there would be people playing salmon in this pool. And this isn't even a good salmon pool. It's a mediocre pool at best. But I'll bet you there's been thousands, if not tens of thousands, of salmon angled here over the years. So I brought you here to show you Louis's rock. It's important. Louis would stand right on that rock right there and fish. He was like a statue there during the salmon runs. Every time you would go by, he would be there fishing. So there's a couple of things about the Nashwauk River at Stanley, New Brunswick. I used to fish here for trout when the trout were running on my way to and from school. And they'd let me keep my trout in the refrigerator when I had luck. That's a great way to grow up. Do you know what the Americans call it when they're on their way to the Miramichi to fish?
God knows.
The Nashwack.
That's what he called it.
My buddy pumped gas at the station, and they'd stop in and they'd go, "Is there any salmon in this Nashwack River?"
Yeah. Nawijawook.
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 Nawijawook. Yeah. I'll never forget that now.
Yeah. It means undercurrent. Undercurrent.
In Maliseet.
Yeah, in Maliseet, yeah. Every name we have for our territory, every name in our language means something. Nashwauk doesn't mean anything.
Does to me. Does to me. Nawijawook.
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 Nawijawook. Nawijawook. Yeah.
Larry Weist from Green Hill up above Stanley in the Upper Nashwauk Watershed in New Brunswick. We are in central New Brunswick up to near the headwaters of the Nashwauk and the Napadragon Brook we're on right now, which is probably the most major tributary of the Nashwauk going down towards the St. John. I would guess we're about 5 kilometers up from the meeting of the Napadagon Brook and the Nashwauk Stream. This is the tributary that goes right up near the proposed open pit mine that Northcliffe Resources is proposing. I have been in research and environmental issues since about 1975. I'm basically a quantitative person who deals in the numbers aspects of everything and the mapping. And forest ecology is my basic interest, but when the mine came up, I kind of had to get knowledgeable about mining and repercussions and its impacts. So the mine is a proposed open pit mine to mine tungsten and molybdenum. It's a large amount of ore, but very poor grade ore, so it means to get anything out of it, they have to dig up quite a bit of ground to get anything. The open pit itself will be, I think, about 170 hectares. When the pit's fully developed, it'll be 250 meters deep. The ore out of that pit is 6 times more potent in arsenic than it is in tungsten, but they have no use for the arsenic, so the arsenic will all go into the tailings and the waste products from this mine. In all, there will be something like 8 kilometers of tailing dams that have to be built to encircle this tailing pond. They will also, in the open pit, there is waste rock that contains no ore. All of that waste rock will also go into the tailings impoundment, probably out of fear that there'll be leaching of heavy metals out of it if they don't put it underwater in that tailings pond.
So if that enclosure breaks, if there's a breach, then it would go into this little brook.
That's right. We've modeled several breaks. At its peak volume, there will be millions, hundreds of, probably 100 million cubic meters of silt and slurry. The empirical evidence suggests that those tailings and that slurry will reach right down to Fredericton. So I like to give the politicians the image that the Nashwauk reaches the St. John right across the river from the legislature building, provincial legislature. And the folly of the choices these politicians are making today will be evidenced by those that arsenic contaminated tailings pouring into the St. John right across from the provincial legislature. So we've encouraged the Department of Environment to require Northcliffe Resources to do that, to fund that modeling, but thus far they have refused. So we'll see where that ends up in the final environmental impact assessment.
Where are we?
We're just below Narrows Mountain on the Nashwauk River, probably only 20 or 30 kilometers to the headwater lake where the river starts. So we're getting pretty close to the very top of the Nashwauk here.
This is a spot that you've been visiting since you were a youth.
Yes. Yeah, all my life. Came up here in old Volkswagens with my mother when we were real young, and then later I got motorcycles and came, and cars and trucks. We fished salmon and we hunted deer and grouse up here. I got the wrong road, unfortunately. There's no salmon pool here at all. It's the next one up. And unless we had a four-wheeler, we're not going to get there. But Larry could talk about this better than me. But if we look under the rocks, if we can find a good one.
Is that cold?
No, it's bathtub.
It's very refreshing on a nice day like today.
So Larry, you know more about the benthic than I do.
No, I don't.
But here's a caddis fly. And one fly doesn't mean anything. But the community of insects means a great deal. And when we sample water for analysis in a lab, we find out what the quality of that water was right at that instant. Mm-hmm. And so a better way to do it is to look at the bugs under rocks, because they've been there for a while. And so if there was a water quality problem a week ago, these would tell you that story.
Larry Wiest from Green Hill in the north of Stanley in the Upper Nashwauk watershed. Maine, which originated this protocol back in the 90s and which was adopted by New Brunswick around the year 2000, and it basically said this was a Class A, which is not the highest of classifications. There's an outstanding class. But other than that outstanding class, the Class A waters are the highest class attainable, and all of the Nashwauk attain that class. And under that Class A, there can be no new point source of emissions, which would preclude a mine. Unfortunately, the government has never finalized that classification, so they basically have deprived the citizenship of the Nashwauk watershed of the power to determine whether they would accept a mine or not. So it's in legal limbo right now, and we're attempting, along Conservation Council and the five community groups of the Stanley area, are trying to force the issue.
My name is Alma Brooks, and from an Aboriginal perspective, since we have never ceded our Aboriginal title to land or water in our territory, which takes in the whole of the St. John River watershed, they require free, prior, and informed consent. That's what consultation means. Even before they even think about beginning any kind of resource development. And they have never consulted us.
Isn't this lovely?
Isn't it? A beautiful little forest stream.
Where are we?
We're on the shores of Sisson Brook, a tributary of the Napadogan Stream, just downstream of the proposed open pit mine, where they're proposing to dig the hole. This brook it's a small brook, but this brook would disappear entirely as a result of that mine development. But it's a nice, cool... Stephanie, put your feet in that water and tell me what the temperature is.
Yep.
That's
still refreshing, though. But yep, there's a big difference.
So these cold water streams are important. They help keep the temperature of the main stem of the larger brooks that they feed into down at temperatures that our cold water fish species need to survive.
And describe these surroundings, Stephanie. Like, what does this look like here?
Well, it's kind of a typical headwater stream. It's very, very small, has a lot of canopy cover, which is really important for dropping nutrients into the system, which is, what the fish and the bugs depend on. It's kind of the beginning of the food chain and the beginning of how this Nashwauk and the St. John River system grows. It starts here. It's like a little kind of idyllic babbling brook. It's very lovely.
I look around here. I've just been looking around. This looks like a medicine right here. A medicine that my people use for years, generations. And I dug in, and it's just a tiny little piece of it, but that's a golden thread right there. There's a lot of things, anything to do with the mucous membrane. That's what they use this for. And they use it still today. So a lot of that's going to be destroyed because I know that these companies don't have any value for any of that kind of thing. I just wish that they just leave creation alone. Leave it alone.
I love the sound of running water. It's so magical.
Larry Weiss from Green Hill, north of Stanley in the Upper Nashwauk watershed. The mine will probably extend close to here. I'm not sure if it comes exactly here, but it will be 170 hectares digging out ore containing tungsten and molybdenum.
My name is Alma Brooks, and I'm Wolustukwik, Maliseet. And this thinking, this Western ideology that they brought with them started in Europe. They destroyed Europe, and then they come here and they started here. It doesn't work. And in a short period of time, they've destroyed almost to annihilation our land and our water. But again, there will come a time when we will have to stop. And when the elders tell us that there's no use trying anymore, then that's the time when we have to look after ourselves and start to prepare ourselves for dark days ahead. We have to turn things around here. This is where it has to stop. The buck stops here. If not, then all we can do is prepare ourselves for what's coming. When they destroy one thing, it affects everything because all life is connected. Life is like that, like a spider's web. And if you cut that web in a certain place, the whole web will disintegrate. So that's what they don't know what they're doing. Scientists or not, if they have answers and they're so smart and intelligent, why haven't they fixed it? Why is things getting worse and worse and worse? Why haven't they fixed it?
You've been listening to 12 Canadians building a better world from the inside out. Learn more about New Brunswick's Nawijawak River and subscribe to our podcasts at greenplanetmonitor.net. Huge thanks to the Social Justice Fund of the Canadian Auto Workers Union for their generous support. 12 Canadians is created by Earth Chronicle Productions, Winnipeg, Canada. I'm Dave Kattenberg. Bye for now.